in the strength of Christ's grace, followers of Jesus are called to teach others and to endure with a single-minded, obedient, hard-working devotion to Jesus.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
I want to start off today by asking you a question that at first it looks like it might be a fairly simple question, an easy question to answer. But as we think about it a little more, maybe it's not so easy to answer that question. And then I'd like to suggest a way to answer that question based on our text here then today. But that question is this: who are you? Who are you? Now, if someone were to ask you that, who are you? You'd say, well, we'd answer with your name, right? I'm Dan. I'm Maureen. I'm Scott. Well, that, okay, it gives you a name, but it really isn't who you are, is it? So usually if people are asked who they are, the conversation tends to focus on one of a couple of different themes. Oftentimes we might then define ourselves, define who we are, by a job title. Well, I'm an accountant. I'm a teacher. I'm a doctor. I'm a plumber. So we might think about our work that we do. Or we might define ourselves in terms of family relationships. I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a father, mother, I'm a grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle. So we tend to define ourselves by a job title or a relationship of some kind. And that's all well and good because those are a big part of who we are, aren't they? But I would suggest, though, that that wouldn't be ultimately who you are. So with that in mind then, let me ask you, how would you answer that question? Who are you?
I'm a sinner washed in the blood of
Jesus. A sinner washed in the blood of Jesus. That's a good answer, right?
A child
of God, right? I think there was just a movie that came out recently with that had that theme, right? Who are you? A child of God, right? Well, yes, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then yes, you are a child of God. And I think that's a good way to think about ourselves. I'd say you're a child of God. Also, what? You are a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And based on our text here then today, I want to suggest that you might also then think so. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you are, to one degree or another then, you are a teacher, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer for Jesus Christ. That's a pretty wide variety of job titles there, don't you think? But what do they all have in common? What they have in common is that you are a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, who is to be in some ways a teacher, like a soldier, like an athlete, like a farmer in some ways. And so as we continue our series here then today in 2 Timothy, we'll be in chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And there we will see that in the strength of Christ's grace, followers of Jesus are called to teach others and to endure with a single-minded, obedient, hard-working devotion to Jesus. So before we look at our passage here, a little context before our text here. As you recall, the major theme here in the book of 2 Timothy is about enduring through hardship, enduring, standing firm through difficulty. This book is the famous last words of the Apostle Paul as he was writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy. Not his biological son, but his spiritual son in the faith. And he is encouraging Timothy to stand firm, to endure, to do the work of the ministry that God had given to him. 2 Timothy, along with 1 Timothy and Titus, are called in the New Testament, are called the pastoral epistles because they are books that focus on pastoral leadership. As Paul was writing to Timothy, who was a young pastor in the church at Ephesus, or as he wrote to Titus, who was a pastor in the church in Crete. So he was writing to them to give them encouragement and instruction on spiritual leadership, being a good pastor. But I would suggest to you, though, that that does not mean that only pastors can read these books. Only pastors can benefit from them. No, they are given to all of us, to the whole church, right? Because there are lessons and instructions in there for all of us. Whether you are a pastor or not, all of us are called to be faithful followers of Jesus who are growing in our faith and are doing the ministry that God has given us to do. And all of us then are called to grow into maturity in Christ, to become spiritually strong and mature. So whatever your job title may be, whatever your family relationships may be, who are you? You are a child of God. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. And today I want you to think of this, that in some way, in some manner, you're a teacher. You are a soldier. You are an athlete. You are a farmer for Jesus Christ. So let's look then at our text here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 7. Here, Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." So then, as a follower of Jesus, as followers of Jesus then, first, let us then be strengthened. Let us be strengthened by His grace. I think this is important that we talk about this before we go any further. To talk about this first off, to know this before anything else that follows. Is because someone had pointed this out to me one day, and I thought, you know what? You're absolutely right, and it has stuck with me ever since then. And I've had to think, and you can let me know how I'm doing on this, okay? But I came to realize, or it was pointed out, that oftentimes in my teaching or my preaching, there's a strong emphasis on exhortation, that is, commands, what God is telling you. What does the Word say? He says that we must do this, we must not do that. That the strong emphasis on do this, don't do that, don't do that. And then someone pointed out, you know, though, that's good because the Word says that. The Word says to do those things or to not do those things. But we need grace, though, too, don't we? And the funny thing about it is because, you know what? I'm a grace guy. Anybody, we got any grace people here? Okay. Now, I'm not going to point out names here or anything. Sometimes we got some law people and we've got some grace people. All right. And the truth is we need both, right? We need both. The law people among us need to be reminded of the grace of God and Christ's grace. But the grace people among us, we need to be reminded of the law, though, too, don't we? So we need each other. So here is a funny thing, that here's a grace guy who's constantly giving law sermons. And I thought, maybe, sometimes maybe we tend to speak out of our own need, what's going on in our lives to other people, right? So here is some great exhortation here about being a soldier who suffers for Christ, being an athlete who's following the rules, the law, or being a farmer who's working hard. But where does it start? First starts with what? Be strengthened by His grace. I cannot be a good soldier a rule-following athlete or a hard-working farmer without the grace of Jesus Christ. Right? None of us can. So let's remember that first. Before we get into that other stuff, remember this first. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Our obedience and faithfulness to Christ and to the Word of God must not come from self-effort, self-will, or self-discipline. How many of us here have discovered the futility of trying to be obedient, live the Christian life by self-discipline, self-effort, self-will? Doesn't work, does it? Reminded of that, that there's a statement that I think is true, is someone once said, you know, the Christian life is not easy. It's impossible. Someone got ahead of me. You know that statement, right? And it's true. The Christian life not only isn't easy, it's impossible. And what does that mean? It's impossible to be a faithful follower of Jesus by our own efforts. It's only by the power of the Spirit and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can live the life He calls us to in the Word of God. So be strengthened by His grace. The strength to obey and endure comes from Christ's grace. And then we discover this amazing thing, that not only does the strength come from His grace, but then also what? There is joy. There's joy in obedience then to the Word of God, isn't there? When we're filled with His grace. You know what? I learned some lessons this summer about the grace of Jesus Christ and the need to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I discovered, and I know this will come as a real shock to some of you here, but I discovered I have a tendency to be a little bit self-sufficient sometimes. A little bit self-reliant. It's like, oh, all right, thanks, but I got this, right? I got this, I'll handle it. Well, you know what? I had some things come at me this summer that kind of reminded me and showed me in no uncertain terms, I can't handle this. And I found myself in a position of thinking like, look, just this one situation itself, God, I can't do this. And not only can I not do that, I certainly can't do that and do everything else I have to do. I can't fulfill all of my responsibilities. I can't do my job and do that too. Oh, and by the way, some things that you're talking to me about personally in my life, about dealing with my emotions, I can't do that either on top of all this too. And then there's a few other things too that are going on. Isn't it strange how that, where it seems like when it rains, it pours sometimes, right? With the challenges that can come at us. But I think there's a reason for that, is God was, what was God doing? He was stripping me down to the point of showing me my own inadequacy and my need for Him. Showing me that it was His grace that I needed. It was His strength that I needed. That His grace was sufficient for me. For in my weakness, His power was shown perfect, right? So I was shown a little bit about that this summer. And you know what? He didn't fail me. His grace came through. Now, I didn't say it was easy. And that there weren't some rough days. There were. But the grace of Christ saw me through. And you know what? The grace of Christ is not only the grace of Christ directly experienced or felt or perceived within. You know how else I experienced the grace of Christ? Through you. Through Christ's people. Through your prayers. Through your support. Through your encouragement. That's part of the grace of Christ in us too, isn't it? God's people. So be strengthened by His grace. We need to acknowledge daily our need. In fact, what was the very first line in Jesus' first public teaching or discourse? in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who are the poor in spirit? They're the ones who recognize, I saw a hand go up there, right? The poor in spirit are what? Those are the folks who recognize their own inadequacy, their own spiritual inadequacy, their own spiritual poverty and bankruptness before God. In effect, what? Blessed are those who recognize they have nothing, for they shall receive everything, right? So be strengthened by His grace. Now, with that in mind, then, here's the law sermon. Here's the do sermon, okay? As followers of Jesus, then, let us be strengthened by His grace, but let us then teach others. Said Paul was writing to Timothy as a pastor, as a young pastor, and here he is being instructed to train others to teach and to lead. But you know what? You don't have to be a pastor to teach others, do you? All of us are called to one degree or another to teach others, aren't we? We have all, I hope, we have had people in our lives who have taught us, who have instructed us. And by the way, is teaching only through our words? How else do we teach? Through our actions, through our lives, right? So we teach others not only by what we say to people, but also what? Our deeds and how we act, how we live, by example, right? So he says, Timothy, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, he had not just heard the words of Paul, he had seen the life and the example of Paul as well. He says what? Entrust these things. Give them, when you entrust something, you're doing what? You're taking something that is of great value and putting it into the hands of others then for them to use that, to protect that. And so he's saying, entrust this gospel, this faithful teaching to others that they might teach still others so. So here what you see, four generations of spiritual transmission. You see Paul, who is transmitting to Timothy, who is transmitting to others so that they might do what? Teach still others. Four generations there. So I hope we all have folks in our lives or had someone in our life that has been a teacher or an example to us, a spiritual mentor. But it's good then for us all then to have a Timothy. It's good to have a Paul in our lives, but it's good to have a Timothy. That is someone that we are teaching or instructing, not just with our words, but by our lives, our actions. And then what do we want that Timothy to do? We want them to grow strong and mature so that they can teach still others, who then can teach still others yet, right? How is it that you and I are here today, this morning? Now, don't say, well, my Ford pickup out in the lot there. I don't mean that, right? No, I mean, how is it that we are here today? Because, and yes, it's the grace of God. That's another conversation, okay? I get that. But just in one level, how is it that you and I are here today? Is because somebody was faithful 2,000 years ago to entrust these faithful words to others, who then taught others, who then taught others. So you and I are here today because people have been faithful for 2,000 years to entrust the gospel to others. And that's why we're here. You know, I've often thought, you know, how there's these popular TV shows or these kits, like these DNA kits and that, where you can kind of trace your physical ancestry there. And that's interesting to learn about those things. But I thought, wouldn't it be fascinating to see like a spiritual ancestry trace? Wouldn't that be something? You know what? Now, this is just speculation. Don't quote me on this and say it's definitely going to happen. And if it doesn't, then we get to heaven. You can come and be mad at me. And I don't mean, but I really believe one of the things that's going to happen when we are in the Lord, when we are with Him in heaven and living on the new earth, I think we're going to find out We're going to hear a lot of stories. And maybe even, you might find out your spiritual ancestry. Who eventually God used to bring you to faith? I think that may be one of the things that we're going to learn. And by the way, as you think about that, you think about, who was faithful so that now you are here, you are a follower of Jesus. Should Jesus tarry, and by the way, I realize I use that term all the time, but what are you talking about, Jesus tarry? Should Jesus delay his return? We don't know when he's coming, right? Could be any day, but we don't know. But should Jesus tarry, that is, should he delay that coming? We don't know when he's going to come again. Think about this in terms of, not only is there a long line of people before you in your spiritual heritage, think about how many people might be following you. Who have you touched? Who's going to touch someone? Who's going to touch someone? For who knows how many generations out, right? So teach others. Addition by multiplication, as it's been called here. As followers of Jesus, then, let us be strengthened by his grace. Let us teach others. Let us then be devoted to Christ first. They were told, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now that is probably not what I would put on the recruitment poster, for the church. Share in suffering. Come suffer with us, right? But God often turns things on their head, doesn't he? And isn't that exactly what Jesus said? Isn't that what Jesus said to those who would follow him? Come suffer with me. Yeah, in fact, how did he say it? He said, what? Anyone, take up your cross and follow me, right? In other words, what? Come suffer with me. Be willing to die a horrible death for me. Who's in? Right? But why did he say that? Because he's not interested in half-hearted fake followers. He wants real followers. Right? Now, most likely, we're not going to be called to give up our physical life for him. But every day around this world, people do, don't they? And they have throughout church history. And it could happen in this country. But whether we are asked to give up our physical life for him or not, we are all called to give up our lives, the essence of our beings, and to submit to him, to his authority, to his lordship, right? We are all called to enter into his sufferings. What are the sufferings of Christ? Well, it may mean rejection, persecution, even death. But it also, though, certainly means dying to self. It may mean rejection by family or friends. It means hard. Sometimes being a follower of Jesus means we're going to suffer. Life is going to be hard sometimes because we're faithful to him, right? But with that suffering, there's also what? His joy, infinite joy and eternal reward. So enter into Christ's sufferings like a faithful soldier then. And a soldier, he says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. In other words, what? A soldier has a single-minded devotion or focus on he wants to please the commanding officer. And in the same way then, we cannot allow ourselves to get entangled in all kinds of distracting things that would take us away from that single-minded devotion to Jesus Christ. Now, that single-minded devotion to Jesus doesn't mean then that we ignore our families. And we have to, because, by the way, can I just say very quickly there, I think that there have been, and I think it's tragic, really, that there have been people then sometimes who put Jesus first such that they make a wreck of their families and all that. And I don't think that's what we're called to do, okay? But we do need to be clear in our hearts about what the priority is, though, right? We're devoted to Christ first. We're devoted to Christ first. And we don't allow the entanglements of the world, civilian pursuits, if you will, to take us away from that single-minded devotion to Christ first. So as followers of Jesus, then, let us be strengthened by his grace. Let us teach others. Let us be devoted to Christ first. Let us also then obey God's word. It says an athlete competes according to the rules. You know, the imagery here of sports is a major theme in the New Testament, especially in the writings of Paul. And most likely he's referring to what was called the Isthmian Games. It was like a version of the Olympic Games. And if you were going to be an athlete and compete in these games, there were rules, right? Just like, well, any sport, there are certain rules that you have to follow, because if you don't follow the rules, then you get disqualified. And so an athlete, in order to compete and win the contest, has to follow the rules, or else she'll be disqualified. So he says, so in like manner then, as a follower of Jesus then, you are like an athlete then, who is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Well, what are the rules for us? It's what God is calling you to be. It's his word. It's being obedient to his word. That's competing according to the rules. It's being obedient to his word. Now, I am very grateful that when I am disobedient to his word, when I break the rules, and I do. Do I have any other rule breakers here, by the way, or is it just me? Okay. There's also, take us back to where we started again with the grace that is in Christ Jesus, right? There's his grace, there's his forgiveness, his restoration. But we must recognize that who are you? You are a soldier, you're a teacher, you're a soldier, you're an athlete who must compete according to the rules, being obedient to the word of God. Don't be disqualified. Receive the reward, the eternal reward that God has for us when we're faithful to him. As followers of Jesus, then, let us obey God's word, but let us also then work hard. It says it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. I have it on pretty good authority that farming is hard work. Is that correct, Carol? Yeah, I'm getting a nodded head there. It is. And you know what? Think about it. As difficult as farming, as labor-intensive it is, the hard work that goes into farming. Think about all the modern equipment and tools and things that we have these days, you know, to try to make it a little easier. Well, how about in the first century when they didn't have all those modern tractors and other equipment, right? It's hard work. A farmer was the epitome of a hard worker. Today and then. And it says, this hardworking farmer ought to have the first share of the crops. That is what we need to be. A farmer is working hard to bring in a harvest, right? The farmer doesn't do all of that hard work just for the sake of having something to do with their day. There's a goal, right? And what is the goal? Is a harvest. To bring in a great harvest. Well, you and I are farmers who are to work hard at the goal of bringing in a harvest. Now, in this case, it's what? It's not corn or soybeans or wheat or anything like that. It's what? It's a harvest of people, a harvest of souls. So be a hardworking farmer to bring in that harvest. And this farmer ought to have the first share of the crops. There's reward in that. The farmer got the first taste. A hardworking farmer for Christ receives the reward of seeing the harvest, of sharing in the first fruits of the harvest. But then also, though, will receive reward eternally with the eternal harvest. There's a harvest right here, right now, in our lives, in our ministry, when we see God working in us and through us. But there's the great harvest of all time. And we will share in that. Reward in that. So as followers of Jesus, then, let us obey God's word. Let us work hard. But then also, finally, then let us reflect on these words. I like where he states it very directly here. Timothy, verse 7, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And you know what? I think that's a good direction for the Word of God generally, not just for these few verses right here, but for the Word of God generally. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. It's part of the call on our lives is to think over what God has said, to meditate on, to chew it over in our minds. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. As I said before, there is, you don't have to be a pastor to draw out from 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy or Titus either, to draw out some great lessons in spiritual maturity and leadership. Okay, now here's the answer. Now keep in mind, remember I said I'm a grace guy, okay? I'm the law guy. I recognize the importance of the law. But I am a grace guy. And so with that in mind, who has been doing your homework here to read through the text here and identify principles of spiritual leadership? All right, I see a couple of hands. Now the rest of you, no. I'm a grace guy. I'm going to extend grace to you today, all right? But I want to encourage you, read through 2 Timothy, and it's really stunning how many principles there are for us in this on spiritual leadership, spiritual maturity here. Not just with the words of Paul, but the example of Paul. And so with that in mind, and you're not going to be tested on this, I want to just go through this. So to encourage you to do your homework, how did you do? Those of you who have been doing your homework, keep read through there with us and see. Here's just a few lessons just from these few verses. What do we learn about spiritually maturing persons? Well, spiritually maturing persons find their strength in Christ's grace, not in self-sufficiency, right? But in Christ's grace. Spiritually maturing persons entrust the gospel to others so that they can teach others. They share in Christ's sufferings. They seek to please Christ first. They pursue obedience to God's word. They work hard in anticipation of heavenly reward. And they reflect consistently on the truths of Scripture. So there's just a few things. Now that you've all been reminded, okay, who forgot that you had that homework assignment, right? All right, okay. Well, now you're being reminded. There's your homework assignment. Pick up from there, read through 2 Timothy, and see how many lessons or principles you can draw from that about spiritual leadership, spiritual maturity then. But again, what's the foundation of it all? Our own self-effort? No, it's the grace of Christ. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So what? Again, in the strength of Christ's grace, we're called to teach others and endure with a single-minded, obedient, hard-working devotion to Jesus. You're a teacher. You're a soldier. You are an athlete. You're a farmer. So what should we do? Teach. Love. Obey. Teach others. Love Christ first. Obey the Word of God. Work hard for the harvest. But most importantly, to circle back to where we started, rely. Rely on Christ. Rely on His grace for the strength we need. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the grace that You have abundantly poured out on us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we acknowledge our weakness, our inadequacy, our inability to in and of ourselves, to please You or to do the work that You're calling us to do. But God, I pray that it would be Your grace that would be our strength and that would be our joy as well. God, You're not calling us just to go out and do hard work. You're calling us to know You and love You and be in intimate, joyful fellowship with You. And may that strengthen us then as we go out then to share, to teach others. May we not be distracted by entanglements of this world, but love You first and foremost. May we be obedient to Your word. May we work hard in anticipation of that eternal harvest. And we do all of this by the strength that is in Christ Jesus, and it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.